Bible College is the highest form of education in all the world. It takes mathematics and shows you the one that knows the first and the last and all this in between in the science of mathematics. It takes the science of biology and takes you beyond the study of plants and animals. It takes you into life itself in Jesus Christ, the Eternal One. It goes beyond the science of chemistry and takes you into the laboratory of the great chemist, Jesus Christ. It goes beyond astrology and takes you one that holds the stars together and knows them all by name in Psalm 147:1, Jesus Christ. It goes beyond all the sciences and takes you into the one that holds life together by the word of his power in Hebrews 1:3. Any college that teaches the letter is not an education. It prepares you to make money in the world and to contribute to the good part of the tree of knowledge, which is forbidden fruit according to the word of God in Genesis 2:16 and 17. It might even help you to contribute to an orderly society and to the structural knowledge system of order, only to discover that you go to hell in order or in darkness lost to light. It's very important in the last hour of human history that every single Christian learns what an education is all about. It's important that you students prepare this summer to come back this fall and take a full semester. The highest form of education in all the world is to know, is to live in, and love, and fellowship with Jesus Christ, and have the mind of eternity and the character of divinity. You do not get locked up and enveloped in the effects of the sciences, but you fall in love with the one that is Mr. Science himself. You're not introduced to psychology, but you're introduced to a divine psychiatrist. You're not introduced to a formula of mechanics, but you're introduced to an organism of a living Christ. Therefore, the highest form of education in the world. Many people say, I got my education so-and-so, but it's not an education. An education to make your mind disciplined to receive may make you prepared for the earth, but it never prepares you for heaven and to reveal heaven on the earth. Many fathers and mothers encourage their children to be a part of a world system that is hid in the darkness of 1 John 5:19. That's according to the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. And then when their children come home, without any desire to submit to their authority, they wonder what they've produced and what they've done. And what happened to the University of Maine as it usurps its right to let homosexuals enjoy their immoral freedom. Or the mental institution which now allows teenage mental patients to sleep together. This is where education has brought us. Or the professor of the greatest university ever who says there is no God. We came from one globe of jelly and one protoplasm and we're evolving to a higher plane. And then some student asked him, but where are we on the higher plane? And he said, we created a monster. And he said, it's not a higher plane at all. An education is confused with its presence and it's disillusioned by what it's achieved. And it wondered in the 60s and the 70s when the college campuses were filled with rebellion, what did we produce? And in reality, they produced what they taught. They produced who they were and they produced something for a system, but not someone for a living God. For that reason, I cry out. And I make no mistake about saying the Bible is the highest form of education in all the world. I feel bad for some of you parents that are ashamed for your kids to get a Bible education. Brother in heaven, you'll be ashamed that you didn't encourage it. Heaven and earth will pass away, and all the educational structural knowledge of its system. But my word shall never pass away. Matthew 24:35. Thy word, O God, is forever settled in the heavens. Psalm 119:89. God says His word is forever settled in the heavens. It's the only thing that can get into the soul of man and divide it and make his human spirit have a capacity to learn how to live in Christ. And that's the word of God in Hebrews 4:12. It divides the soul and the spirit. It's the only thing that can do it. And it's spirit and it's life and it's healing and it's forgiveness and it's joy and it's living in eternity now while you're occupied with a manifestation of time. Therefore, hundreds and thousands have forfeited the highest education possibly to mankind to enter into a pseudo structure of earthly knowledge that only alleviates the pressure of the temporal system but never does anything to contribute eternal life to the needy soul of the human that desperately needs reality. There is no reality in effects unless it's related to a divine cause. There is no life in humanity unless it's sealed with the eternal Spirit of God. There is nothing that ever lived unless it derives itself from the words of life. There isn't such a thing as an education without Jesus Christ. Many of you have got diplomas from earth, but you never got them from God. And the highest form of education in the world is to know Him, to know whom life is eternal. We are not saying that God doesn't send people to different universities to learn so they can contribute in certain phases of society. Of course He does, in the perfect will of God, in which case an individual is guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no way to receive what God has done unless I'm introduced to who God is. How many understand that? And imagine somebody trying to get people to be disciplined without a cross. You may discipline their Adam so it will spring up in some other... Okay, so you discipline Adam and now Adam withdraws and he's frustrated and he goes into depression for years. You say, I fixed him years ago. I used to beat him with a rod. But what did you do to Adam? You disciplined Adam without a cross. You see, the cross wipes out the bad man and allows the new man to come in. But when you punish the old man and try to correct him and discipline him, all you have done is put a pressure on Adam that makes him withdraw into what we call moods and mental blocks. And man hides behind his fig leaves, and the fig leaves represent a mental block. And he says, you'll never get to see who I am because I get punished every time I express what I've done. And it makes him eternally moody. Then, of course, after he has had his mental block up and he gets moody. Now, you listen to this next statement. You're going to have to think. He hides from who God is, but expresses that he knows God. I was afraid and I hid. But of course, I love God just the same. Why don't I get what other people get? Why doesn't God bless me like He does others? He'll never find me again. I've got a mental block and I'll hide behind that mental block. And I'll live in my mood so that I can at least experience something. Then they go to a religious service. And everything about that message or that service has to minister to their withdrawal to complement their mood, to add to their mental block, or they don't like the service. if there's a dunamis or a dynamite blasting the self-life through the expression and explosion of the word of the Spirit, then it reveals who they are. And it takes off the fig leaves and shows them naked. An education with a purpose. An education with the mind of God. Conforming people to the image of the living Christ while they're still on earth. How is it done? First, we create a hunger for them to listen through personal love. Second, the personal hunger creates a capacity to receive the life of the person. And thirdly, this produces a capacity to be occupied with who life is in the nature and character of what love has done. And then the person who is totally frustrated behind the fig leaves begins to dare to let him go, because when he gets rid of his fig leaves, Jesus is there saying, I love you naked, just as you are, and I receive you. No longer are they afraid of a natural discipline of punishment. Now they're going to be received in the arms of grace through the blood of the cross and accepted perfect when they fall into those arms. They dare to be themselves. They can be bold enough to be transparent. They can say, this is the way I am. And God accepts me. And that creates a hunger and a thirst and a capacity to know that kind of love. And they begin to live in a world of light instead of a world behind fig leaves. And imagine boys and girls doing what was done in a classroom several times recently, when the classroom grieved God because of a little normal rebellion. The teacher before them and said to them, you have hurt the Father, and she was weeping. You have grieved the Spirit. She said, I'm not coming back into the classroom until God touches your life, and when he does, come after me. 3 hours later, they came after her, changed hearts and changed attitudes. They saw God in action. An education with a purpose. You can teach a child all the books and get him to pass an examination and have him live in the darkness of moods, in the alienation of mental blocks, in the ignorance of his own human self-effort. And you can develop his potential through his genes and stimulate them and energize them. And you can begin to produce an influence in him to be disciplined and learn. And that's fine without ever introducing him to love, joy, and peace, and a motivating power of the essence of God's character. Education with a purpose. The highest form of learning in the art of all of God's sciences. Knowing a person intimately and personally that holds the world together as your personal friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When you get in the classroom, he's your personal friend. He's not abstract. He's not up in the sky. He's not a rod. He's not condemnation. He's not guilt. He's not ready to tell you you failed. He's somebody that says, I love you, and I have a motive and a purpose for you to learn about me and life and its practical application today. Let me teach you by my Spirit. The qualification is that you'll be meek and that you'll listen, so that I can create a capacity for you to receive who I am. So in 2 Kings, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse, the Lord said to them when they were in a battle and they had no water, he said, there's one thing that I require of you, and it is this, I want you to dig some ditches. What is education, really? Is it learning about plants and animals and the structure of English that came from northern Turkey, and no one knows, there's been 10 major changes in 11 years, and now this 52% disagreeing with the normal acceptance of structure? What is education anyway? Even the science of education is so confused today that the poll in the colleges from professors contributed in such a misnomer about what to accept that no one knows now what is the norm anymore except in 6 basics out of the 10. The New Yorker thinks he talks right, and he doesn't know what they used to do in northern Turkey and Germany and England and in Plymouth Rock. Who is intellectual? Who is educated? Some man that confuses you with rules? Or is even that the purpose? No, it isn't. The purpose isn't to get these things down pat. The purpose is to dig ditches so you can have a capacity to live forever. The purpose isn't necessarily to get A in a classroom, but the purpose is to do the will of God with all your heart to glorify the Father. Education is digging ditches. And God says, you dig the ditches, and I'll fill them with my heavenly water. Education is to get you into a trial and then to have you go to God and let the blessings of the Holy Spirit and the water of the Word of God fill you so you can drink and everyone around you can drink because your cup runs over. That's education. Education isn't to learn how we evolved from one cell. Education isn't to learn how to refute atheism or evolution. Jesus never repudiated it one time because that was all property of the tree of knowledge. Show me one time where Jesus ever repudiated evolution. I don't try. Listen, I memorized all of that for 2 years. You'll never hear me use it. That's all tree of knowledge material. And I know chapters and verses. But listen, that's not an education. An education is to be bubbling with anointing of God so that the Holy Spirit can give you supernatural revelations on a disciplined, anointed mind so that you can be filled with the essence of God's life, with the character of God's love and the light of God's revelation. That's education. Education is to know God in every situation. And we've missed it because of... Now listen carefully. Why have we missed it? Satan got kicked out of heaven because of pride. Intellectual pride. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. Ezekiel 28, 15 through 23. Luke 10, 18. He got kicked out of heaven because his mind said that he could ascend above God and be smarter. Is it any wonder that when he started and initiated the system and institution of education, that it sends millions to hell while they learn to make a living, they don't learn to live? Because they've never been exposed to a divine purpose in education. I laugh when people come up and say, so-and-so is well-educated. I had a man come up and tell me, he said, will you have so-and-so speak at your church? He says, he has 11 degrees and he got converted old in his life. I had him speak. I thank God that he got converted. But I'll tell you what, he was still trying to tell us about metaphysics. I learned more from Romans 1:19 on metaphysics than he could tell me with his 5 degrees on the side. Why? Because I got it from the Word of God. I said to him in my office, how many souls have you ever won by knowing metaphysics? Did you say, now that I told you about metaphysics and you're wrapped up in it, now receive Jesus? Or did you win him by telling him that he's lost and the gospel will save him and Jesus loves him? And every time he won him by telling Christ, not what he knows about metaphysics, but people have him speak so he can relate to metaphysics.
But that's not education. Education, it would take you a lifetime and me eternity. It's going to, but it's fun every step of the way to get to know Christ. Paul was 67, saved, born again, sanctified, and filled, when he said that I may know him. I want to know him. I want to win him in Philippians 3:9. He was still going for his education. And forgetting the things that were behind, he was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. And what was the prize of the high calling? Jesus Christ. Jesus said, dig some ditches. The deeper you dig, the greater capacity you'll have for me to fill. And that's the purpose for education. Now, you use all the contemporary subjects, certainly, as a means and a method to teach and relate to Jesus Christ to get them to dig the ditches. Homework is an opportunity to dig ditches. Different personalities and having to live with is an opportunity to dig ditches. Having someone differ with you when you know you're right is an opportunity to dig ditches. The classroom, the dining hall, the hallway, everywhere you go is an opportunity to dig ditches. And the purpose that God sends people and things and subjects and circumstances into our lives is so that we'll dig ditches. And out of digging the ditches, we dig out the dirt of Adam and let the water cleanse and come in and fill the Holy Spirit and the Word of God so that we can have a divine education and be guided by a divine instructor and led by a divine leader and have the captain for our host. Folks, as never before, learn what an education is, because most of you have no idea. How many understand that? You can see why we feel by July we won't have any more room for students as second or third year. Why? When other schools are closing. Because people know that they can have the highest form of education in the world. Studying. Not about Jesus Christ, but simply living in the life of Jesus Christ's knowledge while they study. So they dug the ditches. And they had a capacity. What is God trying to do for our lives through the circumstances that He sends our way? Is to create a capacity for water. The first for need. Then He fills it. And then what did He do? He did something else with the water in that battle, remember it? The enemy was outnumbering them by far. And He made the sun to shine on the water in such a way in the morning that the water looked red as blood. It was only the sun shining in a strange color scheme with the dust particles of the earth, making the water look red. You know what their enemies said in 2 Kings 3? They said, they're fighting against one another, and they're murdering each other, and it's all bloody. Let's go and take them over. And when they did, the Israelites were already in their combination, the alliance, which wasn't the best one, but they were already, and they defeated the enemy on the basis that the water looked like blood. How do we defeat our enemy? Number one, by digging ditches. Number two, by letting God quench our thirst with living water. And number three, with the water and the blood. In 1 John 5:7, our enemy is trapped and he's slaughtered because of the water and the blood. And thank God they won the victory through the water and the blood. They didn't have any military might, but the water and the blood did it. So what does God educate us to do, really? To trust in the water, the Word and the Spirit, and the blood, what Christ did, who Christ is. And it reveals where Christ is, and cleanses who we are, and fills our capacity with who He is. And that's the purpose of an education. It's to get us to have victory over all of our enemies through blood and water, and because what we were became who he is by digging ditches and receiving the capacity for life. Would you bow your head?